When we are outcome focused, what we end up doing is we achieve a goal, but we still have that old quote unquote mindset. And then we come right back, right back to who we are. But when we are system focused, now we're really transforming the whole person. And health is an intricate balance. It's an equilibrium between the relationship with your body, the relationship with others, and then the relationship with self. And so all of these things have to be addressed on this journey to becoming that highest version of yourself.
Has your doctor told you that you can't exercise or you can't lose weight, and that's left you feeling stuck or like you're missing out on activities that you used to be able to do? Do you find yourself jumping from diet to diet or coach to coach without making progress? Then you're going to love today's episode with Sherry Shaban, certified athletic therapist, osteopath, and life and health coach, who's helped thousands of people shift from "I could never do that" to empowering their deepest transformation. She really does live up to that bio, and she's about to inspire your socks off. Welcome to The Thriving Metabolism, where it's my mission to empower you so that you and your metabolism thrives and you never have to go through diet misery again. I'm Louise Digby, women's weight loss expert and founder of The Nourish Method to Lasting Fat Loss. Let's dive in. Okay, well, welcome back. And I'm really pleased to have Sherry here with me today. I'm really, really looking forward to this conversation with Sherry because I think that she's got such an inspiring story. So welcome, Sherry. And perhaps you could start by walking us through what your backstory is and how you came to be in this world of nutrition and fitness.
Well, thank you so much, Luis. I'm so happy to be here with you and have this conversation here with you. I feel so honored. You have a gorgeous energy, and I love the way that you conduct your show.
Thank you.
So I got into the health and fitness space in my early 20s, and I always say it was a little bit by accident. So growing up, I was really involved in sports. I was a tomboy, always competing against the boys to run faster, to do more push-ups. I was a competitive swimmer growing up. And then by the time I hit high school, I was now in varsity sports. Getting MVP for me was a normal thing. I was always winning first place, second place in track and field events. And so I always viewed myself as this athlete. That's how I recognize my identity. And when I was 16 years old, I was actually in boarding school. I was living in Lugano, Switzerland. And that particular day, I was going downtown to purchase Pearl Jam concert tickets with my roommate. And on the way back to campus to check in, we were trying to catch the bus and we see it taking off on the station. And I run across the street as fast as I can to try to catch this bus because there's major consequences if you check in late and you're in boarding school. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in the hospital. And I didn't know it at the time, but this is all of sort of the story that my roommate had witnessed and was now sharing with me. But I was struck by a car trying to catch the bus, and I ended up being lodged from one side of the road all the way to the opposite side of the sidewalk. And so when I woke up at the hospital, I had glass in my hair, I had abrasions on my face. Yes, I was sore, my knees hurt a little bit, but I didn't realize the extent of my injury until I went back to basketball practice. And when I first started to train again, I was feeling this pain in my glute. And I thought it was just muscle soreness, but it kept getting more and more intense until eventually it was all the way down my leg. It was excruciating pain. It was shooting. It was electricity feeling. And it got to the point where I wasn't able to walk uphill. I was in so much pain. If I would go from seated to standing, it would be excruciating. And I ended up needing support to even shower or go to the washroom. And so that's when I went back home to visit my parents, and I went to see a doctor. And I was told that I'd injured my spine and I needed a surgery. So by the time I turned 17, I now had my first back surgery. After that, the doctor told me that I wasn't allowed to play sports again because I had severely damaged my spine. If I were to do any massive rotation movements or any flexion movements, then I would eventually injure my back further. And so I listened to this advice for so long. Slowly found myself migrating to a new peer group because at that age, you're always wanting to connect and feel like you belong to a particular environment. And so I actually found myself involved in the party crowd and really doing a lot of things and behaving in a way that really did not align with who I am. And so in my early 20s, I just got this aha moment one day. This was after a night of partying, and I'm like, oh my God, like, who is this person? I can't believe, like, this is now my life. And so it was at that moment that I decided I'm just gonna go to the local gym and I'm just gonna sign up. And that was my first experience actually at a gym. And during that time, I was doing my master's degree in chemistry, of all things. So this wasn't really my field. It wasn't my background. I'd always played team sports. And so I just copied people for months. I didn't know what the movements were. I didn't know what they were for, but I just stayed consistent. And so day in, day out, I showed up. I kept training. I kept strengthening my body. And then after a span of a few months, I realized that my back pain was gone. And I was able to come off of the pain medication that I was relying on daily. So that's really opening Pandora's box. And that's how everything changed. It was really in that moment when I realized I overcame something that doctors said I never would. So I dropped out of my chemistry degree. I went back to school. I studied exercise science. I became so obsessed. I needed to learn everything I could grab my hands on about the human body, about biomechanics, about injury rehabilitation and prevention, about nutrition. It really just started this cascade of events where I eventually became a certified athletic therapist, an osteopath, ended up opening gyms, and really wanting to help people as my highest mission to overcome any obstacle. And I believe we all have something. So some people have an injury such as mine where they were told they weren't allowed to do things. And other people are struggling with a dis-ease that is out of their control. Other people may be limiting beliefs or struggles with weight. And so my story does continue. When I did open the gyms that I was referring to, I ended up having a second back surgery. That one was even more severe than my first surgery because I was just actually millimeters away from paralysis at that time. Again, I've had to rebuild my way back up in a way where I was able to respect my body, honor myself where I'm at, and then understand that we don't need to focus on our limitations to feel that we can actually express ourselves or to be able to really identify who we are in life. But instead, what we can focus on is the possibilities. And that was the greatest aha moment for me, was this realization that there are more things that I can do than that I couldn't do. And so as I shifted that focus, that's also how I help people overcome their limiting beliefs and their obstacles. It's really helping them get into that place of empowerment where they can see what they can do versus what is creating that block for them.
Wow, what an incredible story and journey that you've been on. And sounds like you were just like so close to paralysis, and obviously that would have been devastating for you. How did you find the confidence to get back in the gym after that and just trust that that was going to be the right thing for you?
Yeah, such a great question. And I have to admit that I didn't have the confidence. And what I realize is that every life decision that we make or anything that we take action towards, what we're actually doing on a very psychological and unconscious level is moving away from pain and moving towards pleasure. So every single decision that we make throughout our day. And at that very, very moment, the pain of who I had become, the pain of not identifying and recognizing myself, was much greater than the physical pain that I was actually experiencing from my back. And so it was just this decision where I don't want to tolerate who I've become more than not wanting to tolerate or fearing that condition that I was particularly in at the moment. And so it did take bravery. And then I also want to say that, Luis, when I joined that gym, my goal was not to deadlift a bus. My goal was not to try to out push up or outrun anybody as I did as a child. My goal was really to just listen to my body. And it was at that moment that I started to identify the difference between what I call real pain and fake pain. And so real pain is that pain in the body that's always there. It's constantly lingering. It's there when you're sleeping. It was that pain that I experienced before I had my surgery. It was just always there. That's why I needed surgery, because no amount of rest or medication or even conservative treatment was going to help reduce it. And then there's this fake pain. And fake pain is the type of pain that goes away when we stop doing the activity. So let's say we're exercising or we're going for a walk or even overcoming an injury, whether that's an ankle sprain or surgery, there's discomfort, there's pain, and we feel that pain as we're re-strengthening. But then when we stop and we back off, it goes away. And so that's the type of pain that we work with. So I was working with my body in a very, very fine-tuned way, very, very conservatively, always focusing on whether what I was doing was actually giving me fake pain or real pain. And if ever it was real pain, which happened several times, of course, on my journey, I learned how to back off and I learned where my limitations were. And more importantly, my greatest takeaway was that we don't have this same 100% level every single day. Our 100% changes every single day. And when we learn to recognize that, we'll know that on certain days we could push more. On other days, we have to back off a little bit. Maybe we require a more gentle approach. And so it allows for more flexibility. And again, just being so in tune with what that body is needing in the moment.
So it sounds like becoming in tune with your body is a really big part of making progress and not exacerbating problems. So how do you get started with understanding what your body's trying to tell you?
So good. So it's interesting. I actually came across this concept not too long ago, and it was just this kind of aha moment. You know, from the moment we're born, Luis, all of our interaction is always with the outside world, right? So we're born, and as babies, we start to interact with our environment. We start putting things in our mouth, and we start to move. And so we just are always interacting with the outside world. What I realized too is that most of the time, we don't actually spend interacting with our inside world. And this is the issue. So, how do we become more intuitive, whether we're talking about intuitive movement, intuitive action, intuitive eating, right? Even understanding how to establish our own boundaries personally for ourselves and with others, we really have to look inside. We don't have any problem interacting with the outside environment. The moment that our eyes open, boom, we're interacting with social media, we're interacting with people, we're interacting with work, we're always engaging. But do we actually ever sit in silence? And this was something that I actually challenged one of my coaching groups to do. I challenged them this week to just sit for 15 minutes, just with yourself, without doing anything. No, you're not allowed to read a book. You're not allowed to listen to music. You're not even allowed to journal. Just sit with yourself for 15 minutes. We don't do that. And if you notice, when we're in a waiting room at the dentist's office, we're like, okay, grab our phone. Like, we can't even sit there for 10 seconds without trying to occupy our minds or busy our minds with the outside world. And so the moment that we actually reflect inwardly, and that really can look like meditation, it could look like just sitting alone and just really understanding yourself. And by understanding yourself, what I'm really referring to is understanding your thought processes and your emotions. Because your thought processes are your reflection or your outlook on life. If you think people are always bad, people are always out to get you, people are always trying to rip you off, the world is a terrible place, all of these things, just notice your thoughts and notice your emotions. And then, more importantly, ask yourself where it comes from. Because the more you ask yourself where it comes from, you're actually going to realize, like, oh, I heard that on a podcast, or ooh, I heard my mom telling me this when I was, or I heard grandma telling me this, and it's actually not us. And so we're operating really with other people's language and belief systems, what we were told, whether that came from society or culture or elsewhere, but never really asking ourselves, like, what do I want? Like, what is right for me? Am I a doctor, for example, because I wanted to be a doctor, or is it because my parents told me that I should be a doctor and that's a good job? Right? Am I married to this person, or am I doing this particular exercise or activity because Jane down the street got really great results, or is it because I want to do it? And that is really the sitting with yourself. And the more you get into this place, the answers are there. We don't actually have to create these answers. We don't have to look for them. They're just there. They're present. And so it's not that we're trying to find out what that is. What we're actually trying to do is remove all the layers to be able to get to that place. And the layers are, again, all the belief systems that we've picked up from society, from our environment, all of our past experiences, and all beliefs that we actually also hold around ourselves too.
Yeah, it's so powerful, isn't it? Just taking away those distractions and all that outside stimuli and just allowing yourself to be with yourself and listen. I know for me, if I'm feeling overwhelmed or a bit burnt out, then just stopping and like shutting the laptop, turn the phone off, and just being quiet for a bit. Sometimes for me, that's journaling. Sometimes it's just being quiet, or it might be going for a walk without any headphones in.
Yes.
You know, that's for me a really good time to kind of do some processing and thinking about, you know, what's going on and what I need in that moment to start feeling good again.
Right. Oh, so good.
So if someone's listening to this and they've been told by their doctor, you can't do such and such, maybe it's you can't exercise at all, maybe you can't do certain things, how does that person, but where do they go from there? Do they need to, like, firstly go back to their doctor, get a second opinion, or can they start doing little things to start moving forwards?
So I want to say this so respectfully, because I actually come from a line of doctors. Both my parents were physicians. My brother is a physician himself. And this is not to say this or that, right? This is actually to say that your inner doctor and your inner wisdom is with you at all times. That could look like another opinion. That could look like more research. And that could look like just you being curious in what is possible, because there's so much out there that is possible for us. And in our society, we hold doctors on this pedestal. And again, I say this so incredibly respectfully. And I see this all the time. So I'm an osteopath. I also study and help people around nutrition and other things, lifestyle habits. And yet I see a lot of people, patients coming to me that have seen their doctor that were told to eat a certain way or to stop doing a certain activity or were recommended certain things that was a little bit outside of their scope of practice. And the reason why I say that is because they are doctors of medicine. So they are trained to learn symptoms and they're trained to learn the diseases that matches with those symptoms and the medication and the side effects of the medications and the dosages and all of that can be prescribed for that person's particular condition. And again, thanks to allopathic medicine, I've had two back surgeries and I'm able to walk today. And so again, it's not to say this or that, but it's to allow yourself to actually broaden that scope of knowledge and awareness. And what we have to understand is that there are other experts in different fields that may provide for us additional information. So that's one way, but it still has to come from desire. And so for me, for example, my desire was, I don't want to tolerate my particular condition. So when you get to the place where you decide that you no longer tolerate what you've been told or where you're at, that's where you're going to start to seek out information. I had somebody on my podcast a few weeks ago. He's in his 50s and he has many herniated discs in his back and he has a lot of calcification in his knees, and he went to go see a doctor, and the solution was to have a spinal fusion. But he didn't accept that. That wasn't something that he accepted. He believed, and deep down inside, had a desire to continue to search for another solution, because that comes with a lot of negative consequences and side effects and very limited lifestyle if you decide to do that. So he ended up following this other pathway where he discovered stem cell research, then discovered that there was a doctor in the United States that was doing surgeries in South America, and he ended up having stem cell implants, no surgery. And now his back has, again, almost filled up the full space for the disc, and it's beginning to heal itself. And so there are other methods and solutions. But if we, again, interact with that inner wisdom, that inner doctor, and just really ask ourselves, what is it that we accept? What is it that we tolerate? And what is it that we actually want to create? What is it that we want to have and allow in our life? Because there has to be still, Luis, that level of deservingness. And if we don't feel like we deserve something different, something better, a different possibility or solution, we're going to accept what we're told.
Yeah, definitely. And I see this in my clients all the time. People who have very low self-worth, or perhaps they just don't believe that they're ever going to achieve the thing that they're setting out to achieve. If you don't have that belief in yourself, you're just not going to achieve it, because you're actions and your behaviors will align with your beliefs. So if you believe you're going to fail, you're going to be doing things that are self-sabotaging and setting you up for failure. But if you can condition yourself to believe that you will succeed, then your behaviors will align with that and you will get there one way or another eventually.
100%. And it's interesting that you say that, because in our society, and we see this, we're always looking for the magic pill or the magic diet, the magic exercise program. And I see this again, it's like speed dating. You try this note, try that note, try this note, try that note. And really, the reason behind all that, why nothing really works, is because there's no belief that it actually could work. There's no belief that you actually deserve better, or that you can actually achieve more, or that it is possible for you. And so the magic formula is actually that belief system. If you really believe it's possible, you'll be able to overcome anything. And now if you follow any of your favorite athletes or actors or influencers, whatever, it was belief that brought them to where they are today. It wasn't a whole bunch of money and luck and opportunities. Most of the time, they were hearing from the outside world, this is a bad idea, it's never gonna work, why are you doing that, you're gonna fail. Yet they still had that strong belief, and that's what drove them to success.
And sometimes the odds are against you when it comes to having that self-belief, because your doctor's told you that you can't do right. such and such, or because maybe you've tried and made things worse or had various missteps. So how does someone maintain that really strong self-belief and that strong desire when it can feel like the odds are stacked against them?
It's daily work, Luis, and it's effort. This is the effort, right? This is the effort. And like I was sharing earlier, we don't have to make an effort to interact with our environment. There's no effort there. The moment we open our eyes, we're always interacting. But the effort is really in our rituals. And I will share and suggest and maybe offer as an idea to anyone who's listening, who's asking, well, how can I start to really put in this effort to really do that internal work? Well, it has to be scheduled. And so before I got on this podcast, I was doing a meditation, which is scheduled in my calendar. Believe me, I've got millions of other things that require my attention right now instead of sitting still for 30 minutes. Yet this is my priority, because when I can do that, then I'm going to show up as my highest self in the remainder of my day until I hit my next meditation. And so in the morning, when I get up, and this is what I want to offer to you all, just to try and just be curious. And the other thing too is, when we try something new, what would happen if we approached it with a sense of curiosity versus a sense of absolute? So let me try this. I heard this girl, Sherry, on Luis's podcast, and she's suggesting to maybe start the day in this way. Let me try for 30 days and see how that may impact my life. And at that moment, then I'll decide whether this is a right fit for me or not. And that should also apply to all of your health and fitness rituals. Give it a try first. If it works for you, amazing, keep it. If not, release it. Try something else that aligns better. So in the morning, before I even speak with my kids, before I get on my phone, before I start interacting with the outside world, I interact with my inside world first. I love candles. That's really important to me. I love crystal singing bowls. That really resonates with me. So my morning looks like that. I will get on my meditation space, which is not my bed and it's not my couch and it's not anywhere else. It's a special designated space. I keep it very, very special and specific just for this time. And I start off my day with just gratitude. A lot of people, when they start meditating, they get really nervous and anxious because, again, we're in a society where there's rules around everything and there's a right way to do things. And if you don't do it right, it's always wrong. But really take your time to find the practice that makes the most sense for you. And a great way to enter this practice is just through gratitude. So that would look like maybe journaling things that you are grateful for. Maybe that could look like just closing your eyes and visualizing all the things that you currently have right now in your life that you're grateful for. Even if, as you're listening to this, you wish you had more money, you wish you had more health, you wish you maybe you had a relationship, you wish you maybe had all these other things, if you actually focus on what you do have, that already gives you that sense of certainty, that sense of safety, that sense of gratitude for all the things that you have, and then centers you in a position where you're open to receive, because now you see what you've received and you feel deserving around it, something new and something that you're going to attract into your life. And so you can do this in the morning and see how that feels for you. You can stop multiple times in the day, even 5 minutes is enough, just to turn everything off, like you were sharing earlier, Luis, and just 5 minutes of internal reflection, just sitting with yourself, thinking about all the things that you're grateful for. And then again, notice how that's going to start to create that balance, and you're going to start to connect with your internal world. And very soon you start to get these downloads, you start to get information. And that information comes from your highest self, where it's telling you what is the most serving for you around anything that you're deciding in your life.
Yeah, I think gratitude is so powerful and it's such a wonderful way to start the day so that you have a really positive day, most days. I know for me, if I'm in a bit of a funk and I can't find the enthusiasm to do something, or if I'm just finding that I'm not being very productive, if I just stop and do a little bit of journaling, write about what I'm grateful for or how grateful I am that I get to do this work. Like, how fortunate am I that I actually get to do this? I get to share this with people, whatever it is that I'm struggling with. And it is such a powerful thing. It really does shift your energy and raise your level of vibration and help you get into a much more positive mindset for getting stuff done or working on yourself, whatever it might be. So we're talking a lot about mindset, and I know that's obviously a big part of what you do. So I wanted to touch on what actually is a mindset coach. And I think it's something that we hear a lot. We hear like, oh, I'm a mindset coach, or so and so is a mindset coach, but there's obviously a lot of different variations of that. And I'm wondering, what does it actually mean in practice?
Yeah, it's interesting. Mindset now, to your point, is being used so often as this kind of popular word these days. And mindset really is a collection of all your belief systems. And that's how I view it. So if you have a positive mindset, or if you have a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset, it's really just a collection of all of what you believe. And because of our belief systems, we actually operate in a certain way throughout our day, unconsciously, to constantly support those belief systems. So, coming back to what you were also saying earlier, Luis, if you think that you're going to fail, or if you think that things are possible, then it's going to be true. And if you think, or whatever you decide, whatever you believe, you're going to end up interacting with throughout your day. And so, when we talk about mindset, and especially in the work that I do, is I actually help people shift their identity to become who they are always meant to be. If we are really wanting to move towards our goals, if we are really wanting to move towards, let's say, more money or more health, or let's say a relationship or whatever it is in our life, we also have to change then how we think, how we feel, and how we act. And ultimately, those three things, that is our identity. It's really our character. There's no way that with, let's say, and I always bring examples of money because sometimes it's more tangible than thinking about fitness in some ways. But if, let's say, for example, right now, I have a scarcity mindset about money, and I'm always fearing money, and I'm always fearing looking at my bank account, and I'm always fearing spending money, and I'm always fearing I'm not going to make money, I don't have the mindset that it can actually handle, let's say, $100,000 a day coming in, because I have a mindset that is actually fearful of money, not a mindset that can handle or manage what that could look like to bring in $100,000 a day. Now, if a person's bringing in $100,000 a day, they likely have a team that they're leading. They likely have a massive operation that they're leading. They're likely able to put out fires. There's probably all kinds of problems, and they have to be able to manage those problems. So if we right now are operating with a mindset where we're very nervous about managing $100, then imagine how can we possibly, with that mindset, manage $100,000, right? And so kind of the same way with fitness. If right now in my mind, my thoughts, my emotions, and my actions are always of a person who's struggling with their weight, who's struggling with their health, who's so weak, who's so big, who's so disgusting, who's so such a loser, and all of these, and the words I'm saying, by the way, as I'm saying them, I'm like cringing because this is so not in alignment of what I even want to say. I have two girls and we don't say the F word at home. That's the F-A-T word. They can say the other word. This one they can't. But what I'm also sharing with you is the truth of how most of my clients speak to themselves. And so with this mindset, you are going to continue to attract and operate as a person who is struggling with their weight. Now, if you want to become a person who is not struggling with their health or not struggling with their weight, but a person who has vitality, a person who has energy, a person who naturally and easily can do things in their day, then we have to shift our thoughts to match those. And once we shift our thoughts to match those, the emotions are also going to follow because emotions only come from thought, and thought only comes from our environment. And then with whatever emotion we're holding, we take action. And so that's how we actually shift all of the way that we think, the way that we feel, and the way that we actually behave. It's by first reverse engineering, where is it that I want to go? So if I'm wanting to release 30 pounds right now, instead of focusing on a diet that's going to help me release 30 pounds and get an app that's going to help me calculate that, what I'll actually do is ask myself the question, okay, instead of focusing on releasing 30 pounds, how can I become the person who's 30 pounds lighter? And now that starts to look very, very different because now I'm actually looking at habits, I'm looking at behavior, I'm looking at actions, I'm looking at thoughts, I'm looking at emotions. I'm not looking at calories in and calories out. I'm looking at what has to happen in lifestyle for me to become this person. And if I'm not really sure, maybe I'm going to call my friend Luis and ask her, hey, Luis, what time do you wake up in the morning? I really love and admire everything that you do. I want to be more like you and I want to be in shape like you. Can you just tell me, like, just give me an idea. What do you do in the morning? What is the first thing they eat? What time do you eat? What is it? And then what do you do for exercise? How do you move? What about your relationships? How do you manage that? And then what about your mind? Like, how do you take care of that internal environment that we were talking about? So as I start to talk to Luis, I'm writing down a whole bunch of stuff. And now I've got a list of habits. Oh my God, Luis wakes up at 6. I'm going to wake up at 6. What does she meditates in the morning? I'm going to try that. She goes for a morning walk. Oh my God, how many steps does she get every day? 15,000 steps. Let's see how I can try to manage that. And now I've got a system to work with. Because when we are outcome focused, what we end up doing is we achieve a goal, but we still have that old quote unquote mindset. And then we come right back to who we are. But when we are system focused, now we're really transforming the whole person. And health is an intricate balance, and it's an equilibrium between the relationship with your body, the relationship with others, and then the relationship with self. And so all of these things have to be addressed on this journey to becoming that highest version of yourself.
So good. So good. Honestly, just, I think lots of people listening to this are just going to experience such a big light bulb moment because it's just massive, so important. And I always feel that it's so rarely about knowing what to do. It's about getting all of your ducks in a row so that your beliefs, your emotions, and everything that's going on in your head is setting you up for taking consistent action. And yeah, you've just explained it just so beautifully. And I really think people are going to start to look at their approach to whether it's weight loss or whatever it is they're trying to achieve. I really think they're going to look at it differently after listening to that. So thank you so much for sharing that with me. I just know that people are going to want to know more about what you do and how you do it. So, could you tell me how people can find out more about what you do and connect with you online?
Yes, absolutely. So if you go to Instagram, you can find me there. My handle is at Sherry Chaban Fitness. And then also, if you're listening to this conversation and it's resonating with you, I would love to hear a little something. So just kind of what Luis said, if there's any aha moments or any light bulb moments, it would so make my day if you sent me a message there. And let's see what I have to offer for support.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And all of your stuff is going to be in the show notes. So if anyone wants to connect with Sherry, then you can find all of her stuff there. Thanks so much again. And yeah, we'll speak soon.
Thank you, Luis. It was a pleasure.
Thanks. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do head to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review and make sure you hit follow or subscribe. It really does make a difference to me and it really means a lot. Make sure you also register for my upcoming Metabolism Masterclass, where I'll be sharing the 3 steps I use with my clients to help them activate the weight loss accelerators and remove the weight loss inhibitors. And you can find out more at louisedigbynutrition.com or use the link in the show notes or in my bio on Instagram, which is at louisedigbynutrition. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.